Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our particle accelerator. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is Time Pop. Hello, Ari. How are you?
Hi, Dez. I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. This is our first episode where we haven't watched the movie together, just time constraints and life. And I liked having a little bit of time to think about it a little bit. I think the idea of us coming right off the movie and getting right on the mics, that's got its own pluses as well. But being able to think about it, I think this is going to have a great effect on the overall discussion.
Yeah, we'll see how it turns out. We might like it better.
Will you like the movie better?
Oh, boy. The movie we watched is Paradox on Netflix.
Not a Netflix original, but that's
it's
where
not?
You can find it. It's not.
Oh.
It reeks of a Netflix original, but it wasn't.
Okay. So I didn't realize till about halfway through this movie that I have seen it before. A long time ago, yeah. Or I don't know how long ago. I guess when it came out, was that like 2 years ago? God, this movie is bad.
It is. This did that amazing thing that has happened on almost every movie we've watched where halfway through I'm like, maybe this is the one that breaks me, that where I find out this isn't such a good idea. And then they did a bunch of time travel shit at the end and it brought me back. It didn't make the movie any better. It didn't make the production value any higher.
Yeah. So just off the bat, I got to say, terrible script. Terrible writing, terrible casting, but also terrible directing, because there's that one actor in there, the guy that played Lando. I'll let you do all the names of the actors like you do. And I've seen him in other things, and he's great, but in this, he was terrible, which tells me terrible directing. I'm sorry to whoever wrote and direct this, but it's terrible.
Do you think it was a time constraint, like just no time for second takes? Because there was something here.
Yeah, it was definitely rushed. They definitely filmed this in like 2 weeks, if that, and very green. Very green writing, green directing. All the production people were probably their first or second project.
Well, Ari, I'm afraid to burst your bubble.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get it. This is going to lead me right into the fact portion of this podcast. Written and directed by Michael Hurst, starring Zoe Bell, Malik Yoba, Adam Huss, Bjorn Alexander, Brian Flacus, Michael Aaron, and Steve Sue. All of these people you probably have never heard of.
Not heard of, but I recognize the guy who played Lando, the African-American guy.
From director down, this is the hardest working cast in show business. These people's IMDb are overflowing with credits of stuff you've never seen.
Okay, so it's all they do whatever they can to get the paycheck.
Yeah, they're working. These people are making their money in Hollywood. I'm very proud of all of them.
They are working actors in LA, which is a big deal.
Yes, yes. And the Michael Hurst is writing and directing plenty of things. The producer's not a lot. Like, I was trying to find something to be like, oh, they're in this, they're in this, they're in this. It was just a list of a lot of things that I've never seen. So to those people out there that enjoy those shows and movies, I'm sorry if I'm missing something. The big exception was Zoe Bell, the star. I had to look her up immediately because I loved her right away, but couldn't figure out what I know her from. And she takes me back to Lost.
She the stunt double for Kill Bill?
Yes.
For Uma Thurman?
Yes. She's been more than the rest of them. She's been in a lot.
And you can tell she was actually the one person who wasn't, you couldn't see her acting. You know, when you watch something and you're like, I can see you acting. You're acting right now, and it takes you out of it. She was maybe the one person in this whole movie that didn't do that for me.
Yeah, they were all acting the shit out of this script because it was overwritten.
Terrible writing.
It was too much. I'm going to jump to the end here a little bit. Something I found was a critique from the Los Angeles Times from Martin Say. The central mystery is interesting enough to distract from the film's flaws, but the writing suffers from a tendency to explicitly state everything instead of showing it. And that was perfect. I couldn't put my thoughts around what it was. I just knew they were talking too much. And they were trying to be too clever and they were trying to be too cute. But then on top of that, they would show it and then they would say it. And then they would show it, and then they would say it.
Yeah, and to me, that just screams that you're new. You're very green at writing movies and telling stories. That's just my personal opinion.
I'm going to finish my fact portion. Just for fun, what's a paradox? Explicitly.
Like the definition?
Yes.
Okay.
A seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that, when investigated or explained, may prove to be well-founded or true. Which was interesting, because I would have thought the definition would be flipped, that under further investigation would be found to be false. Another definition, a potentially serious conflict between quantum mechanics and the general theory of relativity known as the information paradox. So that feeds right into this. All the way down here at the bottom, it is the mingling of deciduous trees with elements of desert flora forms a fascinating ecological paradox.
Today I learned.
Science. Yes, I'm all out of facts. I'm going to turn this over to Ari, and we're going to get to the fiction portion of this opening with Ari's overview.
Welcome to Ari's overview for Paradox on Netflix. And just so you know, this will be a spoiler alert. So I'm going to get through this one quick because this movie was poop. I want to get into the fun time travel loop-de-loos that happened in this. So a bunch of people are descending into an underground lab where someone has built a time travel machine. It looks like a platform with four pillars around it and a bunch of wires. Their goal is to travel 1 hour into the future, and they send someone into the future. And when he gets there, he finds a bunch of dead people. And so he immediately goes back. Bunch of people in an underground lab have built a time machine, and their goal is to send someone 1 hour into the future, so from 11 p.m. to midnight, and they do that, and as soon as that one guy gets there, he sees that everybody is dead and the whole lab is about to explode, so he immediately goes back, and the movie is basically what happens in that 1 hour that we didn't see, and there's footage of a camera that they had that he took with him that they keep referring back to. Basically, one of the people in those groups that survived took the information and built another time machine. Now tell me if this is wrong, because this was a little complicated. Took the information, built a time machine, and then used the new time machine that they built to go back to, wait, let me check my notes, 2007 to start playing the stock market to get enough money.
We can get into this with the time travel funkiness.
It's hard to do an overview of a movie when it like is here and there and back and then this person and then the twist. So I guess the overview would be some people build a time machine and then some people die and there's a killer, and it's kind of like a mystery.
The main thing, yeah, I would say that one of the initial guys in the group, he comes back at the end and there's two of him. He is...
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to do. I guess you could say the overview could be a group of people build a time machine. They test it by going 1 hour into the future. When they get there, everything's gone wrong. Someone has killed everybody. So when he goes back that 1 hour, the movie is essentially what happened in that hour.
The movie ends up being about Maxine Devlin. Maxine Devlin.
Does it say Max or Maxine in the beginning?
At the end, we find out that Zoe's name is Maxine Devlin.
Was it Maxine or Max? They're like, guy named Max.
Well, that's the big trick on us, because Max is a boy's name and we're dumb. And so then at the end, when they say, what is your name? And she says, Maxine Devlin. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is this group, I guess we're just going to jump right into laws right now. If that's okay, Ari, if you have a little more of the overview. But since this movie is called Paradox, it is about paradox. It is about the laws of time travel in and of itself. So, dun dun dun, obla di, obla la, laws.
That's new.
Live drops, baby. So the laws of this movie are that what has happened has to happen, will always happen, and if it doesn't happen, then none of this happens.
Basically, you can't change fate is how they use the word fate a lot, that it's going to happen. It's fate. You can't change it.
Jim, the original person that you think this is all about before Maxine rises to the top, he, during this hour, he has killed everybody because he's mad at them for not believing in him. And he is using that anger to get revenge with this time machine. But he has to, if you believe in this world of paradoxes that, or non-paradoxes, this hour always has to be the same every time. He always has to convince himself to go back an hour and kill everybody. And if that doesn't happen, the current Jim will cease to be rich and get his revenge. So this movie, do you believe this movie posits that there is only one timeline ever, ever?
Yeah, I think in this movie they only have one timeline. And you jump around in that one timeline. And so you do confront yourself, your past self, in that one timeline.
Because that's what I couldn't figure out from this movie, is if one of these Jims finally says, no, I'm not going to do this, then does the Jim that just did all the killing, to at least under assumption that he's going to go into the future, to go into the past to get his revenge, does that Jim just die?
Yeah, I have a note in here asking, like, where does he go? Because there's one of the Jims, and I really wish that they had some sort of more physical difference between, like, all the white guys. They kind of all look the same. I'm like, okay, there's the mean white guy, there's a white guy with a little bit of, like, 5 o'clock shadow, and then, well, there's the white guy in a wheelchair, that's pretty significant, but then the other white guy who got his head ripped off. Anyway, there's, like, three white guys, and they all look too similar, and it got very confusing to me. So, the main white guy is Jim, that was his name?
Yeah, Jim and Randy especially. It took me half the movie. So the movie opens where Randy calls his mother, and there is another Randy in the shower.
So the movie opens with a character trying to warn people not to come to work. He's calling the boss. He's saying, don't come to work or we're all dead. He tries calling, I guess, himself, and he talks to his mom. And, you know, he's frantic and he's trying to warn people not to do what the whole movie is about to do. And he...
Did we see that phone call again later in the movie?
We do not, but we see him being sent back to try and warn. We see the send back to try and warn, and then they find his body in the locker. So they, you know, they all show up on this night about to do this experiment, and they're like, ooh, something smells bad. And then later in the movie, they find his body, and that's what had smelled bad. But now they didn't say when or what time they were sending him to warn.
Because he had been dead for a while. So did they just, like, panic and send him back? Well, no, because the killer was there. So they couldn't have sent him back too far.
So the killer, meaning Jim, can we call him something else? Just for my own organization. Can we call him...
You can call him Adam. That's his real name.
No, that's going to confuse me. It needs to be something like...
Time traveling Jim?
So he's got like black hair, and then the other two have like light brown hair. He was the one who... I'm a little brain dead today.
Sorry, I was too busy trying to come up with fake names for these fake people with fake names already.
So the reason for that is because... I mean, we can call him Jim. So Jim is the first guy to use the machine. But the movie opens with this other guy trying to warn everybody not to come in. Now, when they send back the other guy, whose name is...
Will.
I'm bad with names in the real world.
No, Randy. Randy makes the call.
See?
I even got him written down in front. Yeah, I'm cheating.
When they send Randy back to warn everybody, did they mention what time they were sending him? Did they say, we're going to send you 2 hours in the past or an hour and 15 minutes? Did they?
They must have the cup, because that the broken cup was there.
When they got there that night at like 10 o'clock. So they must have sent him.
Not very far. They did that time travel thing where instead of sending him back a week and just making sure he can handle this, they sent him back with the exact amount of time he barely had to solve the situation. Because if they send him back sooner, the killer probably isn't there. Well, I don't know. I guess the killer has access to a time machine, too. So the killer can always be there, hunt him down. But not very far, because he's getting a hold of himself as he's showering to come to work that day. And the movie opens with them at work.
Yeah, so let's assume that it's a couple of hours. So if everybody got there at 10 p.m., they did their first experiment at 11 p.m. Okay, so they sent him, let's say they sent him at 9. 9 p.m., they sent him to try and warn everybody not to come in. It doesn't work, and the killer is already there, and kills him and puts him in a locker.
Jim's the killer.
Right.
Jim kills Randy.
Yes. I wish they had colors. Like, he's blue and you're red, and that's just the way my brain works. Okay.
Fun fact, a lot of these characters are named after Terminator characters because of the director's love of that film and time travel in general.
Did you look that up or did you just realize that?
I looked that up.
Oh.
And I don't know. Yeah, Jim, I guess that's a Terminator name. Will, Randy, Anyways, so while we were on names, I had to bring that up because who gives a...
My question is, at what point does the killer, Will...
Jim.
Damn it. At what point does Jim know to go back to that point, and when does he go back? Because at the end, I wrote, you know, the injured Jim, he's got the eye thing because he got stabbed in the eye. He disappears again. At one point, there's three of them, and one of them disappears.
No, what happened is Eye Patch Jim lost his eye patch. At one point, because I did the same thing, I watched the end of this movie several times because I lost track of one of the Jims.
Yeah.
And it was just because it looks like he got his eye poked out. But then later, right before, when he's holding his suit, when he's going back. So Jim, who's about ready to escape, gives Jim, who has to go back in an hour and continue the paradox, he hands him the suit to hide in. That's how we don't know who the killer is the whole movie, because he's wearing a gas mask. So Eye Patch Jim is the one who goes back with the suit, but when he time travels with the suit, he's not wearing an eye patch, and I just noticed a gouge above his eye.
No, so Eye Patch Jim is the one that goes up the elevator shaft. Gouged
but
out.
But he stabbed both of them. There's the okay.
Wait, what?
Damn it.
She stabbed him. The girl.
That's right. There's Eye Patch Jim. There's
freshly stabbed Jim.
Freshly stabbed Jim, and then no wound yet Jim.
Yeah, the Jim who traveled the 1 hour and then immediately traveled back. So at one point there are three of them, and I'm assuming that freshly stabbed Jim travels to the 9 o'clock time to kill the guy who was trying to warn everybody. That's what I'm assuming, but they weren't clear about that. So there was one point where Eye Patch Jim, he was the guy who essentially killed everybody.
So in the room at the same time. So there's Eye Patch Jim, who has already killed everybody and is about to ascend. There's freshly stabbed Jim, who now has to go back to 9 o'clock, wait, and kill everybody. And then there's just jumped into the future Jim. No.
Yeah, you're right.
No, because just jumped into the future Jim, he doesn't hide from the other two Jims. Who's the one that's hiding?
The freshly stabbed Jim.
That's right. That's right. So all three of them aren't in the same room at the same time. And they exist, but they're not in the same room at the same time.
They're in the same location at the same time. So there's one point where there's the two Jims talking to each other. You've got the Jim that we are now calling Eye Patch Jim because he has an eye patch over a wound on his eye. And he is telling the other Jim in this case that...
Let's call Eye Patch Jim Murdering Jim.
Murdering Jim. Okay.
Because the other Jims haven't killed anybody yet.
So Murderer Jim is trying to convince Jim, who has just experienced this hour of terror that Murdering Jim has just inflicted on everybody. So Murdering Jim is trying to convince Jim that he has to kill all these people because it has to happen. Basically, they're trying to make the viewer think that Murdering Jim is the guy that then goes away, builds this other time machine, and then travels throughout time. They're trying to convince the viewer, that he's the guy who does that. And they do a pretty good job. Like, you really are thinking, like, oh, this is that Max guy, and he takes the little disc, this very important disc of information, out of the underground lab, goes off to another city, builds this other time machine. And so he's trying to convince them, like, hey, you got to kill all these people because they know, and you're going to go on to become this.
Well, he convinces him, too, that one point at the beginning of the movie, a bunch of people talk about Jim unfairly. Like, he doesn't deserve to be there with them. Like, they're all smarter than him. He's the intern of the group.
Yeah, and didn't they also suspect him of being the spy?
I think at one point everyone gets outed as the spy. So that's what Jim's motivation is. Jim's motivation is this fresh information that he got, that everyone hates him. They don't think he's a real scientist. They don't think he belongs in there. And so it looks like he uses that anger to kill everybody and then to take this information out into the world, do a bunch of time travel and be the most powerful man in the world.
Yeah, because at one point they read what's on the disc and it talks about 2029 and it talks about 2007 and everything in between those two dates.
So what it looks like is someone from 2029, no. Someone from 2014... No.
Yeah, it's not clear. It's really not clear what the 2029 is talking about, because the one thing they do say is somebody goes off and builds a better time machine, one that doesn't give you brain damage, and then goes back to 2007 and plays the stock market and does really well.
But then they use that 2007 money to fund the 2014 time machine. So this is where the paradox comes in. The 2029 time machine is awesome, but they can't build it without the information gathered from 2014. But they don't have the money to build that without the 2007
money. Yeah. It's like they were so close.
That's where I think ending it with Maxine, because we don't hear anything from Max. At the very end, we realize that the real mastermind that's trying to keep this paradox together to make sure that these people create this time machine and then kill each other so that they can't get in her way. I think they actually, leaving that thread out there, I think actually allows it to exist the way it is, because we don't know where Maxine came from. She could be from 2059 for all we know.
Okay. There was one point talking about she's been an undercover, is it NSA? She's been an undercover NSA agent for 2 years. So she's been in whenever she's from, she's been in this story's timeline for 2 years.
At least,
right. I mean, so she's been in the NSA for 2 years, undercover, trying to...
I mean, this is her first case. So this could be a situation where we don't see her going back in time over and over and over again to get accepted into the FBI, to go through the training, to gain everybody's trust, to make it plausible that this is going to be her first case. Because she's probably got some other information that makes the NSA say, you'd be good for this, because you can fool these people into thinking you're a real scientist. Because they can't just take, you know, any old NSA agent and teach them all this relativity.
What does NSA stand for?
National Security Association?
NSA, okay.
No, association doesn't sound right.
That's a real thing though, right?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
The CIA, but different. This is my take on what the movie was trying to do. Okay, there is...
Don't hurt yourself.
I know, but this is why I love time travel so much, is because your brain is just, you know, trying to figure it out. It's trying to unravel this knot of back and forth and times and dates. And for some reason, my brain loves it. Okay, I'm going to give it a shot. This is my first shot of what I think the movie was trying to do with this female character. Okay. She is an actual NSA agent. This is her first case. She has been undercover for 2 years with this operation led by this guy, Lando. And Lando has some big boss that he doesn't really keep in contact with, because he talked about at some point, I've been dealing with this guy, Max, who's been funding everything, who's been cleaning up at the stock market, but I never really see him, was the vibe I got. So, but has been telling him to build this thing. So Landau has been getting orders from this guy, Max, to build this thing. Meanwhile, the girl has been undercover infiltrating. And I think in the very first timeline, she is just an NSA agent. And then all this happens to her and she realizes what she has on this disc. Because that moment in the cop car at the very end, you just see her thinking, right? Then you kind of see she has this evil look in her eye. I think that at that point, she decides to start the causal loop. She decides to go and build the new time machine with the information on the disc. She then decides to travel back to 2007, start winning at the stock market. My brain just had a blip, because then I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense, because then if this other thing, but I'll continue my rant for now. This may change. So she goes back to 2007. She wins at the stock market to fund the first time machine that they are building in order to, and I lost my train of thought. You look like you're about to say something.
No, I'm trying to follow. I'm trying to not say anything and just follow. I think the whole... Dun, dun, dun.
So many holes.
Hole, 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 holes. Her name is Max, So I think she had to be in on it the whole time. I don't think she could just have that revelation all of a sudden in the cop car.
But
unless there's one more dead body that we didn't see where Maxine has been stacking her dead bodies every time she comes back to try this again from the future.
So you think that this is a multiple trying, a multiple attempt type of thing?
I got the feeling at the very end that this Maxine Devlin was the one trying to hold this paradox in place. Because she knows that if anything changes in this hour or 2 hours, then she doesn't go on to be the Max Devlin that is in 2029 living off the high hog from her 2007 money. So if she is keeping this paradox in place, no, that doesn't make sense either, because then she would continually be getting older and this would be a 60-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
unless because... No, I take that back. Because Jim tries to convince himself at the end, not himself, his other self, to continue the paradox. So Maxine could come back to 2007 Maxine and say, here's what you got to do to hold this in place so we can be all powerful in 2029.
So in order for her to go back to 2007 to say we have to hold this all in place, it had to have already happened. So at one point, all this had to have happened.
The first time. Maxine Devlin is from 2029.
I don't agree. I think Maxine Devlin is from this moment and then built it all the way up to 2029 and for whatever reason had to go back to 2007. And I think Maxine Devlin in 2007 is an older person that no one ever sees because the Landau guy was like, yeah, I've been working with this person. I've never seen, no one ever knows what he looks like, nothing.
That was something I was just going to ask. Landau was who we thought Landau was, right? Because Landau was getting funding from he didn't know where.
Yeah.
Oh, but he was lying because he was the one that turned un-British in the middle.
Yeah, what was that? I'm sorry, but why did that have to be in the script? Why did he all of a sudden have to have an accent and then not have an accent?
Yeah, who is he fooling and why? Why couldn't he just have a...
I wrote that down. I was like, why? Why?
Because
well,
he's the first person that says someone... He's the first person that mentions Max Devlin. So he has an angel investor that doesn't want to be known.
Is that what it is? Because it was a very quick moment in the movie that he says the whole thing about Max, and I might be remembering it differently. I almost want to go back and watch it again if we have time. Basically, what Des and I are trying to do right now is untangle this paradox, right? Paradoxes are a knot, and we're trying to untangle it into one straight line. And it might not be possible by definition because it is a paradox, but it's still fun to try.
Well, and this is when you get to the theory that everything that's always happened has always happened, has always happened. But I can't separate myself from the first time it happened. I always think that there's timeline alpha where it's all laid out in front of us and we do it for the first time. And under that theory, who's Maxine Alpha? Who's Jim Alpha? And this is where I feel like, whether this movie says it or not, I feel like there are timeline breaks all over the place. There's a version of this movie where Jim gets out. There's a version of this movie where Maxine gets out. There's a version of this movie, or there's a version of this timeline where they all die. But then I guess that's what the movie, that's what's kind of cool about this movie, is that the movie is saying that this can't break down. Now, if it breaks down, do we all die in a black hole? Or does the 2029 version of all these people just forget that all this happened and they just wake up and go work at a cupcake factory?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? If your past self, let's say your future self goes back and tells your past self to make a different decision right now, what happens to you?
The future, if it's one timeline?
Yes.
The future is changed, but the future self stays the same.
You right now, you're in the middle. Your future self.
We're in one timeline.
So 2020 Ari goes back to 2010 Ari and has you change a decision. What happens to 2019 Ari?
It's different.
Just instantly.
Well, 2019 Ari hasn't happened yet.
You're Ari right now, sitting right here.
Right, and then you fast forward to 2019?
2020 Ari.
Yeah, goes back to 2010. Says
goes back to 2010.
Something.
Says, now fast there's going to be a guy named Desmond. Don't trust him. Whatever you do, don't trust anything that Desmond says.
Right, and then you fast forward to 2019.
No, but you're here now.
The 2020 is here now.
No, you're in 2019.
Okay,
you don't move. You don't move. But next year, you're going to go to 2010, say, don't trust Desmond, and then you're right here.
Oh, you mean what happens?
Like, does your memory change? Do you teleport?
I see what you're asking.
Do you teleport to Idaho where you moved instead of doing this dumb podcast?
I see what you're saying. That's a very good question.
Or does a black hole open up and just swallow the universe and none of this ever happened?
So, two answers. If it's one timeline, string theory, it changes automatically. It instantly changes to whatever had changed it back in 2010. Option two is it's a multiple strings. So it's just a different timeline. So that is string theory. So it's just branched off. I continue on this path because a different decision was made. It started a different path.
So, but in this movie, if someone makes a different decision, one of these Jims finally doesn't go back an hour to murder everybody, or Jim makes it out of the elevator shaft instead of Zoe, what happens to their 2029? What happens to Zoe's 2020? Sorry, Gail. I keep calling her Zoe from her character name is Gail. If Jim, the one time Jim kicks her down the elevator shaft and gets out, what happens to Gail in 2029?
So it either disappears, you know, doesn't happen, or it's a whole nother timeline. String theory. What else is there? You answer the question.
I don't know. No, I just, because I definitely believe in the multiple timeline. If 2020 Ari goes back to 2010 Ari, has you make a different decision, those timeline splits. And then in 2019, there's an Ari that's sitting here recording this podcast, and there's an Ari in Idaho on a potato farm. And,
yikes.
But if we're going to live in the universe of this movie, what happens the one time that Zoe doesn't make it back to 2000? Sorry, I'm getting her name. Zoe, Gail, and Maxine are the same person, everybody. The one time she doesn't go back to 2007, or...
So you keep talking about what if it had been different in this movie, but they bring up causal loop in this story, and causal loop always ends up the same.
Just always.
That, so they talked about fate, right? And the guy in the wheelchair is like, you can't change it. It's already happened. It's going to happen. So for this story, it was one of those cases where there was nothing you could have done different to change the outcome.
But Jim thinks about it at one point before he goes back. And the only reason he goes back is to keep the loop closed. Not for any other reason. He doesn't get mad.
Which Jim? Murder Jim?
The almost murdering Jim.
So just stabbed in the eye Jim?
Yes. He seems to make a choice. Like, because I kept waiting for something to happen where he didn't have a choice. And the only reason he didn't have a choice is because Eye Patch Jim.
Murder Jim.
Murder Jim. Convinced him that it happened, so it has to happen.
Yeah.
Have they just all bought in?
Yeah.
So they'll just always...
Yeah. For this story, I think that's what the writer was going for. I think he was going for what you cannot change what has already happened. It was one of those stories where they try different things, but the outcome is always the same. I think that's what the writer was going for with when they said causal loop.
Yeah.
But here's my question. With causal loop, specifically consistent causal loop, because there's two causal loops... Inconsistent and consistent. The loop, they bring in 2029 into the loop, into the story, which means that has something to do with finishing the loop. What does 2029 have to do with the story?
They have to build the better time machine in 2029.
Is that when they build the better time machine? It takes from 2014 to 2029 to build the better time machine?
Yes. Probably because this one blows up.
Well, it causes brain damage. See, that's the part of the movie. There's two parts of the movie I would want to rewatch if we were actually very serious about this one. When Landau is talking about Max and when they talk about the 2029 realization. Do you have any interest in watching that part again?
Say that again. I might be able to answer it for you.
So the two points that I would want to rewatch just to clear things up with this story is when Landau is talking about his experience with this person, Max. And also when they get the disc and they read all the stuff and they talk about 2029 and what the significance of that is.
I think that sounds like a good idea. We're going to pause real quick. We'll be right back with some real information.
Now, the only way a time machine can be built is if someone from a future in which one had been built use it to come back and build one.
What are you guys talking about?
Landau. He's from the future.
Someone started building a time machine in 2014. It works, but it is a flawed time machine. So they go on to build another fully functioning time machine. And in order to, in order to basically close the loop, they have to go back from, let's say the fully functioning one is in 2029. 2029, they go back to fund and build the time machine. There's your loop. There's your consistent loop. It's a weak one. It's a not a very good or strong consistent causal loop.
So is this time machine, does it exist in Timeline Alpha?
Yeah.
It does. So this, they always built this crappy time machine.
But because someone from 2029 came back and funded it and designed it or whatever. So it is a consistent causal loop. It's just a shitty one.
It's not a shitty one.
Well, why you already in 2029, if it's talking about Timeline Alpha, you already have your time machine. It's not a one because
this is where what they did to throw it to I think what they did to allow this to close is the open end of the movie we watched where we don't know anything about Maxine. And because we don't know that, I think this story is allowed to be closed. I think if we learn more about Maxine, I think this unravels very quickly, possibly. But since she, because we don't know what her motivation was to go back to 2007 the first time. Because what happened, because it could have been at some point that it broke down. Maybe somehow someone went back and screwed up the development of this time machine, which then screws up the development of her time machine. So she's got to come back and make sure that this time machine has all the money it needs to make sure it doesn't fail.
You're right. That's what it's missing. It's missing the motivation to come back. It's missing the motivation to start the loop.
Right.
That's what we're missing.
Well, you're not, because we've already talked about this, because it's always happened, it's always happened, it's always happened.
Yeah, but there's got to be that first time. I know. That's the thing with consistent causal loops is it's a loop, and there's no explaining it or even motivating it. It happened, so it has to happen, and there will.
Well, and that's what I think is interesting about these, because you have to, if you believe in yourself in 2029, it's up to you to convince your past self to keep doing it, even though they don't necessarily have that motivation. Their only motivation is to trust that your future self has your best interest at hand.
That's another thing about causal loops is they don't have a beginning.
That's just where you have to look at this a different. You and I think both agree that there is a Timeline Alpha where nothing is ahead of us, and someone got to make these choices for the first time.
But work it out. If there is a Timeline Alpha, they start building it in 2014. How did they know how to do that or have the funding for that until the 2029 came back and did that? So it's a loop, and there is no beginning. If you look at that one movie where the girl is the guy and the guy is the kid and the...
And that's why everyone has to die. Sorry. And that's why if you do come back to cause this loop, but how does she... Sorry, I know I totally cut you off. But she convinces Jim to be the... Oh, well, she sleeps with Jim for a while. That's how she gains his trust.
That's why she doesn't... That's why he doesn't kill her when he had multiple opportunities to. So it's a loop. The paradox is the consistent causal loop. Whatever has happened will have to happen. It only happened because someone went back, and someone went back because it already had. It's a loop. That's the paradox. That's time travel. Sound like I'm getting annoyed, it's because I didn't really like this movie.
I love this movie.
No, this is a terrible movie. I like the concept. I like the idea.
How do you do it different, though?
Many movies have done this better, and I'm not. Don't ask me to tell you them all right now. But that one with the guy and the girl and the baby and the French.
No, we'll get to that movie. And that's something we're going to spoil this movie and possibly other movies, because we're going to need to talk. I mean, we're not going to go into other time travel movies very deeply, but at some point we're going to need to say it's like that movie or it's like that movie.
So there are a couple of inconsistencies with the clock.
Oh, really?
You didn't notice this?
I kept looking for them and I...
Okay.
Didn't see him.
I saw one at 11:02. They say something about that was 11 minutes ago when they looked on the computer screen and they saw the guy walk in the halls. They're like, well, when was this? And he's like, that was at 11 minutes ago, which would make it 11:13. Anyway, their clocks were wrong. And I noticed.
Damn it.
Because then at one point the clock read 11:02 when it should have been 11:13. you want to watch, we can watch, we can find it. I got nothing else to do.
No, we are going to watch this now.
If you have a clock in your movie and it's very, you know, center stage and you're talking about time travel, you got to have someone on. Your script supervisor needs to be on it.
Is it here?
Try it.
What are you guys talking about?
Come on.
Ari just found a paradox in the movie. Where did that 10 minutes go?
Yeah.
No, yeah, so it's...
They messed up. That's not like they meant to do that.
No, that's a bad call. Yeah, you're right. Well, and I thought one of the reasons why they made the clock like that is so they could change it in post. That'd be a really easy clock to green screen whatever time you wanted, so you could edit this movie in any direction you saw fit and make it work in the end. I hate this movie. Just kidding. I think...
It's a bad movie, but it's fun to think about the paradox. The actual paradox.
It is.
Not the movie, the paradox. This.
All right. We have covered this a little bit. Ari, what's your official rating of this movie?
What's the lowest possible rating I can give? Is it an F? Is it a Z? Is it a zero? A one?
From 2007 to 2029, what do you give this movie? 2006?
Yeah.
1999?
This movie is not worth seeing. Yeah. So here's why. I love bad movies. I love bad movies, especially when it has to do with time travel. This is a bad movie and it has to do with time travel. And I do not think it's worth seeing. I think there are plenty of other time travel movies, even bad time travel movies, to see. This one is just not worth it. You don't need to see this movie. Skip it.
Wow. I disagree.
Okay.
I think this movie is worth a watch. I don't think you should clear your calendar. I don't think you should... you do have to watch it, though. I was going to say it'd be a nice movie to put in a postage stamp in the top of your work computer. But if you are going to go through the trouble of watching it and try to follow it, it does require a little bit more attention than that. But it's free. If you're already paying for Netflix, it's free. It's there. I think if you're into this kind of thing, I think this movie tells this story very well. And I think there are plenty of holes in it, but I think those holes are trying to think your way around time travel in general. And it's hard for me to say that I liked this movie because I wouldn't. But if you're listening to this podcast, you like time travel movies.
If you're listening to the podcast, you've already seen this movie, hopefully, because it really wouldn't make any sense if you haven't seen this movie.
True.
And I'm sure that you would agree with Ari in saying that it's kind of a waste of time. Because my question is, why didn't they just travel further back? They had the ability to keep traveling back to reset the whole thing.
But that's every time travel movie ever.
Yeah.
Why didn't Marty McFly go back to 1980 and talk to Doc Brown and tell him what was happening?
That's true.
Because he didn't want to cause a paradox.
That's true.
I guess.
So why didn't they just ...
Marty McFly goes back to 1980, then he causes a 5-year paradox.
And now for a quick detour into Contact Land. First of all, thank you for listening to Time Pop. Hopefully if you've made it this far, it is because you have enjoyed the program. After you like and subscribe to Time Pop, please tell a neighbor or a friend about it so you can enjoy a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. And if you hated every second of this but are unable to go back in time and recoup what you have lost, tell someone you hate to download and listen to Time Pop. We'll take the numbers any way we can get them. If you would like to add to the discussion, please email us at timepop9216@gmail.com. That is timepop9216@gmail.com. And tell us your thoughts about this particular depiction of time travel and how you might use it. And definitely let us know about a time travel movie, book, game, etc. that we might discuss on a future episode. And if you'd like to start your own discussion on the topic, please head over to Face, Insta, Twitter Book. We're at tpop9216. That is at tpop9216. And now, back to the big finish.
Well... tell us what you think about this. We'd love to hear your thoughts and poke some more holes in this situation. Or side with me and tell me how great it was. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is Desmond McNeese.
And Ariel Gala. Toodles.